Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for... Wow, it's already October the 23rd in the year of our Lord, 2021. This is indeed hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, ladies and gentlemen, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law, the land, the Constitution for the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. And as you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Ladies and gentlemen, we are live. I'm driving right this very second to the WeCanAct.net conference. You can still get your tickets and have archives of the event, even if you're not here. Check it out, WeCanAct.net. You can also go to the second day and still get tickets. Please do so. Keyword, liberty. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I recorded some incredible interviews yesterday because I'm there all day recording interviews. And as you know, I play them back in future broadcasts and such like that. So I've got two interviews this hour that I did yesterday that are just incredible. And I want to play those, and then I'll be back live through the bridges of this hour and then live next hour as well. I just felt like, why hold those interviews till Monday and et cetera. So we're going to start now with a guy named Glenn Rhodes, just a tremendous gentleman. Check out this incredible interview.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live from WeCanAct.net conference. And I'm telling you right now, it's pumping. I'm in the exhibitors hall at the LovingLiberty.net booth. And man, I'm doing interviews, but everybody else is running around having a fantastic time gearing up for the events. Speakers start at noon. It is Friday and Saturday, ladies and gentlemen. Have I got a great interview for you, though. His name is Glenn Rhodes, ladies and gentlemen. And Glenn happens to be the National Operations Director and for the organization EMP Task Force on National and Homeland Security. Pretty interesting group, to say the least, ladies and gentlemen. EMPTaskForce.us, their website. And they've got an interesting mission statement as well. I'll read just part of it. As the task force on national and homeland security, we believe the citizens and the local, state, and national governments of the United States can come together to save lives, protect critical infrastructure, and it goes on. But it really is about the infrastructure of America that has become very, very vulnerable. We're going to get into that. Glenn, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Oh, thank you very much, Sam, and it's a pleasure to be here.
All right. Now, Dr. Peter Pry is your chief executive there, right?
Yes, he is.
And he'll be one of the speakers today. Is he speaking today or tomorrow?
I'm not sure, but it's one of these two days.
All right. Anyway, it's just an incredible lineup of speakers, folks. And Peter Pry will be speaking. He's going to deliver his message on, hey, we got a problem, right?
Yes, absolutely.
And we're not trying to be negative or dark when we say we have a problem. Mm-hmm. We really realize that the solution to the problem is first understanding, acknowledging, and then saying, okay, what are we going to come together and do about it, right?
Yes.
Tell me the problem.
Well, what happened in a nutshell is I had worked Department of Defense stuff with Lockheed Martin and Martin Marietta for many years, and I'd always heard about electromagnetic pulses, and of course everybody has if you watch Godzilla or The Matrix or any of those science fiction films, but I never thought about having it personalized and touch me. It was always about what we would do to other people or maybe something on the film until September.
It's almost got this sci-fi stigma sadly, but true, right?
It's true, yeah. And it wasn't until March 11, 2011, when the Fukushima Tohoku earthquake happened, that I finally woke up and smelled the coffee. And what happened is, as you know, the tidal wave that came in after the earthquake inundated the backup generators. Now, I didn't know that the backup generators are necessary to keep the cool rods cool, or else it goes ballistic.
Yeah, it goes nuclear.
Yes, and I'm such
goes
a nerd.
Hot, as they
yeah,
say.
Absolutely. And I'm such a nerd. I know that there's 120 million Americans, according to the 2020 census, that or 12 census that live within 50 miles of a Fukushima style direct reactor. So I asked my wife. I said, "Listen, Karen, I didn't know that we're so dependent on the bulk power system to keep these nuclear power plants safe. But if the bulk power system goes off, we have a problem." So I couldn't sleep for many, many days. And finally, I said,
And let's be clear, if it were multiple sites at a time.
Oh,
and
man.
I bring that up because EMP will relate in a second. Go ahead.
Yes. So what happened is I told Karen, I got to find out about this. So I typed in long duration power outage in Google in 2000, right after 2011. And it led me to this guy named Dr. Daniel Baker, who's the director of laboratory and atmospheric and space physics at Boulder. And I called him up and I said, "Dan, Dr. Baker, my name's Glenn Rhodes. I live here in Lakewood, Colorado. And I'm kind of just an ordinary citizen, but I can't sleep at night. I got to talk to you about something that's on my mind. Can I talk to you?" And he said, "Sure, Glenn, come on up." And so I went up to the University of Colorado and I sat down and he explained to me. He said, "Glenn, what you've uncovered is exactly the problem and the issue that's challenging Americans right now." He said, basically, it's because when Nikola Tesla, Edison, and Westinghouse created the power grid, they left a vulnerability in there that they didn't realize was a problem until just recently. And those are the big, giant 400 and 300 ton transformers. They step down or step up the nuclear bulk power system, and we have to have those functioning. And he said, "Glenn, if we get hit by a coronal mass ejection, they would take out not only the transformers in the United States, but the transformers in the entire planet. And here's the problem. We have 200 of them that we make on a yearly basis. We've got over 2,000 in the United States, and it takes about 84 months to make one." He said, "Before we're able to make and replace even one of those customized transformers, we would all die."
But that's if you have all the ability to make it in the first place.
Yeah, and we won't have it. So that's the bad news,
so
right?
Let's kind of give people a quick understanding back in the Tesla days, if
yes.
you will. You know, there was an AC-DC power battle
yes.
about which we should go with. We went with AC, right?
Right.
And that what that means is it goes long distances. That
yes.
was the reason it was chosen.
Yes.
There's a lot of negatives overall. I probably would have went DC knowing what I know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a whole other topic because we've already gone this way, right?
Yeah.
But the idea is you got incredibly high power going from transformer to transformer
yeah.
where it's not really losing power.
Yeah.
Whenever you step it down and take it to your home or do whatever, any line you run from there, called a secondary line,
mm-hmm.
What that means is now you're losing power the longer it goes.
Yeah, yeah.
And the reason that I point that out is that's the reason the grid was built, because you can't get power long distances without cranking it up hot as it gets
yeah.
With these big, massive, very exclusively created transformers, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Anyway, the reason I say that is because that sets the stage for what an EMP is and can do, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And Dr. Baker said, "Glenn, we have things that come off the sun all the time." Now, it's very clear you need to make sure that there's a difference between seeing a solar flare and the coronal mass ejection, okay? So what space scientists tell me is that a solar flare is like a muzzle on a cannon that you see flash in the distance. But the cannonball is the coronal mass ejection that hits us about 17 hours later, okay? So there's actually an anomaly with photons and magnetometer would pick up almost instantaneously. It's going at speed of light that we would pick up in 9 minutes. But at 17 and a half hours, this big giant glob that comes off the sun sometimes, called a magnetic flux rope, what, you know, when you see those flares or those plasma arcs, they usually come back down, but sometimes they pop off the sun like a rubber band, and they morph as they're going across the solar system. And we don't know what the polarity is of those things until it reaches Lagrange point one. Now, Sam, what happens at Lagrange point one, which is a million miles away from the Earth, is that's where the Earth's gravity and the sun's gravity are equal. So we can have a satellite positioned between us and the sun at all times, and when it hits that, it'll tell us what the polarity is. Now, when you have two magnets coming together and they have the same polarity, what happens, Sam? They kind of repel each other, right?
Yes.
Well, what happens sometimes, though, is they're opposite. And when they're opposite, they draw that that current in, and physics 101 says that the displacement of two magnetic fields.
Yeah, that's what happened, and then I got married.
Yeah, creates an electromagnetic, electrons to flow.
Glenn, that's what happened, and then I got married.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
All right, continue, yeah. Sir.
And so,
that was a bad joke.
So what happens is it draws all that energy in, and that's where we get hosed. That's where in 1859, and if anybody wants to read a really cool book by Stuart Clark called Sun Kings, it's about the early astronomers in England and how they viewed the sun. And it is such a great book. If you want to talk about space weather, it tells us a little bit.
And who
bit
wrote
about,
the book again?
A guy named Stuart Clark. You can get it on Amazon, as well as all the books by Peter Pry. He's got a plethora of books on EMP. There's one called Power and Light that's probably a good reference book for everybody to buy. That would be like a shelf book that you could take and reference. But
yes.
Anyway, we had robust systems back in 1859, those big giant telegraph things, and those things burst into flames. So you can just imagine with our sensitive electronics today what would happen, Sam. It would be a catastrophe.
So what the point is, ladies and gentlemen, is when this all happens on the sun, it's so far away. Hey, No harm, no foul. But what happens when that comes in your face? In other words, up front and center. What happens when that gets near your grid or your electronics?
Yes.
What happens is it simply blows them up, right?
Yes. And so we're feverishly. So when Dr. Daniel Baker briefed me on this, he said, Glenn, I told him, well, at least the government's working it. And he said, no, they're not. And I go, why? And they go, well, we're like a bunch of Keystone Cops. Everybody's got their own little, budgets to protect. And they want to, the space weather scientists want to build more satellites. So they couldn't really engage with the military because that's kind of a different set of pot of money. So nobody was really coordinating everything together. And that's the problem that we have with big government. But then he said, that's the natural EMP. There's a man-made EMP that's different, and that comes from 1962, a thing called, Sam, have you ever heard of Starfish Prime?
Yes.
Yeah. So Starfish Prime was one of the tests in a series of tests called Operation Fishbowl. They popped off a 1.4 megaton bomb 250 miles above the Earth's atmosphere, and they exploded it. And they didn't know quite what happened, but 3% of the streetlights in Hawaii, 700 miles away, they went out coincidentally, right? So they found out that it created a 5.2 kilovolt per charge, kilovolt per meter charge across the surface. But then they started doing more of the math, and they said that same bomb exploded over the United States would create a 20 kilovolt per meter overcharge. That's 20,000 volts of electricity attaching to anything more than 2 meters in length, like your microphone cord. If it's more than 2 feet in length, you're going to get zapped. It's going to take all that energy. What happens is those electrons become separated from the upper atmosphere molecules, helium and nitrogen, and they spin along Earth's geomagnetic lines. And every time they spin once, they create a tiny little radio wave. When you have millions and trillions of them coming down, it creates this overcharge, and it will blow things up, basically, electronically.
And the idea when we say it'll blow things up, what it means is it will just overload everything in its path.
Yes. It would just click off.
Okay, so just think about when lightning happens and it hits your line and then all of a sudden, hey, your internet goes out because your router gets fried.
Yeah.
We're really talking about that, but on a mass scale.
Oh, yeah.
And it would simply become unrecoverable.
Yes.
Because it's not like going down to the Walmart and buying another modem. These technological advancements that we've made, especially when it comes to high power, they're very, very hard to replace.
Yeah.
And so an EMP might happen from our enemies.
Yeah.
Or it might happen from where?
Well, there's also another thing. So we have the natural, we have the terrorist ones, but it also could happen. One of the things that we're finding out, it sounds like somebody's starting to cheer here. What happens is we found out that even though EMP, Sam, is the big gorilla in the room, we found out that electrons can be stopped by other things, okay? So even though we emphasize EMP as the biggest gorilla, guess what? I don't know if you remember, 20,000 people were stopped in the commuter trains, 40 commuter trains in Tokyo a number of years ago. You know why? They did the forensic back to this one control panel. They did a video of the outside of it. Looked perfect. When they popped it open, Sam, there was a little snail that went in there.
Yep.
And caused a short. Okay.
Now, I know a little bit about this because I own radio transmitters as I've owned radio stations, and we have mice fry our transmitter.
Yeah,
take it off.
Absolutely.
Take it off, too.
So in one of my presentations that I have, I don't know how they got it, but I have a snail, a slug, I mean, going through a ballpoint pen, and I don't know how they got it to go in there, but this thing morphed and went right through the center of this pen, and I said, this is what happens. We're not only protecting against EMP, we're protecting against anything that could cause the stoppage of flow of electrons that keep you and me alive, in particular, the water and wastewater that we purify every day. That will kill the most amount of people. We won't even know anything happens, but when you're not able to get water in 3 days, that's where we'll get
first
diphtheria,
it's air,
typhoid,
next it's water,
yes,
right?
Diphtheria, typhoid, and cholera will kill the majority of it if it's not a breakdown of social unrest. So anyway, I just wanted to say thank you for letting me be on the station. I want to tell you that there is a film. If they go to emptaskforce.us, you can donate because we're a nonprofit. But there's a film coming out called The Black Sky Event. It's done by David Womack. It should be out in the next month or so. You need to get David Womack on the film, too. He's with Earthling Films. And it has Stephen Kwas, myself's on there, Dr. Peter Pry, James Woolsey, former director of the National Intelligence, is on there, and other people trying to raise awareness, Sam, that we're not getting it. We're not caring enough.
We are in a way, though, yeah. Meaning a lot of people are kind of caught up. They just don't know what to do. For example, what do? Just try to get everything Faraday caged and I'm good?
No, it'll never happen, though. Right? I mean, yes, that would be good.
But so people don't know what to do. People don't know how to react. Like, what can I individually do to solve the problem?
Well, here's the thing. There's a couple things. Now, I'm all about prepping, right? But Dan Baker, when I was leaving his office, said, Glenn, by the way, the number one thing that's going to happen when you go out and tell people about this is people are going to say, how can I create a better bomb shelter? Well, guess what? That may keep you alive for another 2 months. The more important question is, how do I save my entire region, Sam, or how do I save my entire community, okay? So we have initiatives that are going on. One is in Rangeley, Colorado, believe it or not. I went up there 8 months ago, and I told the council, I said, listen, you guys can be right up there with Edison's Pearl Street Station, that DC microgrid that you were talking about, you know, that he created there. You can be right up there with the Pearl Street Station if you do one thing. And they said, what? Create an autonomous, not attached to the power grid, a source like a solar panel or something that uses glycol solution that keeps it's like creating a man-made geothermal reactor. And if you do that for your community, you'll be the very first in the entire nation that's gotten on board. We need thousands of companies like this. And guess what? They said they would do it. So we've got a project right now in Rangeley, Colorado, 2,200 people, that said we are about resilient, all hazards, microgrid or sources of power. And that's going to happen, Sam. It's just a matter of time. I just don't know if we have enough time to build enough of these so that we can keep our waste and water treatment, you know, systems going to do the transition to harden, you know, our grid. But it's a step in the right direction, at least.
Do you think that it's going to take Congress to get something done? Do you think it'll happen on the local communities, a decentralized approach? What do you think the real quick turnaround answer is?
Well, I think the real quick turnaround answer is we have to – Dr. Peter Price says that we have to get that from the military and you know, a lot of this stuff was classified up until 2006. We have to get it out of the military into the free market so that entrepreneurs can start carrying the next message forward. And we want to get greenies on board, but the thing is we want to make sure that the green technology that people are talking about is economic sustainable, Sam, and also...
And by the way, most of the green current stuff we have now, I know there's a lot of chatter that it's all good and everything, but it's not sustainable at all.
No, it's not a sustainable economically. So, and also... The life cycle for some of these EMP panels is like 20 years, and they're starting to throw them away. We have to have something that lasts a long time. And I always tell my green friends, including myself, I always tell them, hey, a sustainable, all-hazards resilient microgrid is a green microgrid because it's going to extend the life cycle of your source of generation for a long period of time. And as you know, Sam, we're trying to get away from transmission lines going across tundra forests, you know, that are dry because of the sparking and other things that happen. So there's a couple of pilot programs in Colorado that have tried to do it for 23 houses or so, but still they haven't added the EMP resilience part of it in, and that's important. I want to mention one other thing, Sam. Did you know that they have, you know, we have instruments that take out other people's power grids? Well, we have things and capacitors that will actually pop off at 300 kilovolts per meter. That's 300,000 kilovolts per meter over a smaller area, maybe like 4 or 5 square blocks, but it'll fry everything in there. And so, you know, I looked at one of those. I went to a defense contractor, and I said, uh-oh, I know where the first one's going to be popped off, and it's not going to be from a nation state. It's going to be from bank robbers trying to get money. Sam, this technology is right around the corner. We got to start protecting against it, right?
It's something that we can do, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Peter Pry, yes, will be speaking about hardening the grid at the Weekend Act conference. I don't know if he speaks today or tomorrow, but keep an eye on the ball because, really, he's going to talk about hardening the grid and what we can do. He doesn't want us just to be in a panic and in a meltdown because it's coming and there's nothing we can do. Yeah. There are things we can do, ladies and gentlemen. Glenn Rhodes with us, National Operations Director on the task force, the EMP task force, to make a difference, ladies and gentlemen. EMPTaskForce.us to learn more. You can learn, folks. You can gain knowledge, and then you can take baby steps. And it seems like the baby steps won't matter, but enough baby steps gets you there, Glenn.
Yes. Thank you so much, Sam. I appreciate it. God bless America, because I'll tell you, there's a lot of spiritual people that are knowing this, and they know it's all about sustaining life, right, and protecting
Amen.
Life.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, do you know about Operation Fishbowl? That's kind of the origins to get kind of an understanding of what's going on and kind of the genesis as yes. this is unfolded in modern day, whether it be from natural causes, an act of God, as some would say it, whether it be from our enemies and terrorists, or whether it be from some natural, unforeseen, unexpected reality check. Bottom line is we better be ready.
Yeah. Thank you, Sam.
Thanks,
God
Glenn.
Bless you. Bye.
There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. Glenn Rhodes doing a phenomenal job on your radio. Talking about EMP. Is it a serious issue? Electronic magnetic pulse is indeed a big issue because it can smash your electronics digitally, if you will. It can just fry them from the inside out like a big old lightning storm can do down a power line, but worse. And if it really hit hard, ladies and gentlemen, recovering from that would be very difficult indeed. So, ladies and gentlemen, beware of that. There's a lot of people warning about it, trying to prep for it, trying to put things in place to take care of it. It's something that we seriously need to consider as a reality check. We don't need to melt down and panic, but we do need to prepare. We do need to think about if that were to happen, what would we do? And I'm telling you right now, the first thing you need is air. The second thing you need is water. And the next thing you need, believe it or not, is sanitary conditions, and then food. Because if things become unsanitary, if people start throwing up and having diarrhea and all these different things that happen to the human body, and we don't have any way to clean up for it, then people will start having germs and getting sick, sick, sick. And then it won't matter, because you'll be so sick, it'll be hard to stay alive. That's what will kill people the most, is the lack of clean, usable, potable, is the term they use, water. And if you have potable, usable water, then you're going to be in pretty good shape. If you don't, it's going to get rowdy. It's going to get hardcore quick, folks. So that's something you got to understand. So we need to take care of those treatment plants. We need to take care of the water purification systems. That's core and central and first. So what I want you to do in your county, in your city, in your municipality, is I want you to go ahead and figure out a way that you can work on that with your people. Say, hey, peeps, this is serious business, and we got to get on it. If you do that for me, that'll be fantastic. I am indeed live from Weekend Act Conference. It's the second day. The first day was incredible. The second day, as far as I understand, equally, if not better, is that possible? You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live, nationally syndicated Global Reach on the Net talk show.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
Pain at the pump expected to last through the holidays. President Biden saying this week he doesn't expect a big drop in gas prices until next year. Alaska Republican Senator Dan Sullivan on Fox News Friday.
Well, pain to come, and, you know, a lot of the blame, almost all the blame in terms of energy prices is squarely on the president's shoulders and policies.
The average price for a gallon of regular unleaded is now over $3 in all 50 states. The last time that happened, 2014. President Biden's popularity among independents hits a new low. A Gallup poll out Friday finds just 34% of independents approve of the job he's doing. That's the lowest since he took office. Overall, his approval rating stands at 42%. Democrats may be closer to a deal on a new spending bill. The White House spokeswoman saying Friday Biden is likely to spend the weekend making phone calls to nail down support before he leaves for an overseas trip next week. No word on a price, but House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says it's going to be bigger than anything we've ever done for the American people. This is USA Radio News.
Rockstar Radio is looking for a co-host. Yes, you heard me correctly. Nationally syndicated radio show and popular podcast, Rockstar Radio with Billy Gerard, is looking for a co-host. In fact, two segment co-hosts. One will join Billy weekly talking about all things financial, and another for a weekly review of the national real estate and mortgage market. Co-hosting with Billy Gerard could be the move that puts your career into overdrive. For all the details and to schedule an audition with Billy, send an email to bill@rockstar.today. That's bill@rockstar.today. Or go to rockstar.today/co-host for all the details. Rockstar Radio is looking for two expert co-hosts. It could be you. Email bill@rockstar.today or go to rockstar.today/co-host. Being on the radio with Billy will make you the expert in the field. It could take your career over the moon. Get all the audition details at rockstar.today/co-host.
Pregnant women don't seem to want the COVID shot. The CDC trying to change that. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky Friday.
We have relatively low rates of vaccination for pregnant women in general. So really important to consider pregnancy and underlying medical condition high risk of COVID. And yes, you are absolutely, you should get vaccinated if you are pregnant. If you are eligible for a boost and you're pregnant, you should also get your boost during that period of time. And I would say for nursing as well.
At least 200 pregnant women have died of COVID. The American Academy of Pediatrics finds infected mothers may give birth prematurely. Still, only about 25% of pregnant women have gotten vaccinated. Facebook seems to have ignored warnings about how it was politically polarizing the country. Reports out Friday show employees warned company execs that Facebook was pushing divisive content, but nothing appears to have been done. Meanwhile, the Facebook employee, Frances Haugen, who testified before Congress a few weeks ago, will address a British Parliament committee on Monday. The UK looking into appointing an independent regulator to audit and inspect big tech companies. This is USA Radio News.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we continue live from the WeCanAct.net conference. It is amazing. Speaker after speaker after speaker with hard-hitting educational news. The networks refuse to use content. I'll tell you what. John Knox with us now, ladies and gentlemen. Restoring freedom through choice. Firefightersforfreedom.org, the website. John, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you for having me.
Now, tell me how you got involved.
Me and another guy that I work with, we work for LA City Fire Department, and we saw the mandates coming down the pipe, and we started putting something together, and then one thing led to another, and LA City was the first one to drop the mandates. And so then we created a foundation and moved that forward, and have dropped two lawsuits on the city of Los Angeles right now against these vaccine mandates.
All right. So you're one of the founders, right?
Yes, sir.
And now you're speaking on Saturday as well at the event. If people want to look for that presentation live, it's coming up tomorrow. And if you're listening to the archives, you want to look for the Saturday. And then you want to look for John Knox, founder of firefightersforfreedom.org. I didn't know folks in L.A. could stand up. I thought it was just all extreme liberal crazy now. No? There's still some sanity left.
There is some sanity, yes. Yes, there definitely is. And, you know, originally we started this because the mandates were going to terminate us as of October 20th. We were supposed to all be terminated if we were not vaccinated.
You say terminated, you're talking about from employment as firefighters, right?
Yes, from employment as a firefighter.
Okay.
So through that, basically we stood our ground. We assembled a law team, which includes Robert Kennedy Jr. As one of our attorneys, John Howard as well, and Scott Street. And we placed two lawsuits on the city of Los Angeles, and we basically said we're not going to kneel to this tyranny that's happening.
How many firefighters are in the, is it a municipality? Is that what you call it?
Is it a county? Municipality? No, there's the county and then there's the city of Los Angeles.
Got it. So
this
it's
is the city. Correct.
Okay. I just want to be clear and understand, right? How many firefighters are there about?
So in the city of Los Angeles, we have approximately 3,400 firefighters.
And how many are willing to stand up?
Right now, we have 871 in our 871. Yeah, one. Yeah, I think that's right.
So you're talking about 18% or 20% or something.
Yeah, we're 25% right now of our department. Okay. And actually, we're amending the complaint that's coming up right now. And we figure that it'll go well over 1,000 members because we have people constantly asking.
And you're amending the complaint with a goal of saying, hey, there's more people involved?
There's more people that want to be involved in it, that believe that the mandates are unconstitutional, and they want to be part of that.
So a little bit of it is a lot of these people are basically not understanding, and then when you get a chance to kind of educate them, they're like, you know what, I agree, I'm on board.
Yeah, you know, we do. And this isn't a vax versus unvaxxed issue. This isn't, you know, left versus right political ideology. This is literally about, you know, our freedom of choice in this country. And the right to choose. If you want to get it, get it. If you don't want to get it, don't get it. But you can't mandate that and tell us that we have to.
So let me reiterate the point. This is not a bunch of anti-vaccine people running around frothing at the mouth. This is a bunch of people saying, look, whether you're for or against the vaccinations, that's one thing. I may agree or disagree with you on the point, but you know what? I agree with your right to say I'm not going to be mandated.
Absolutely.
And that's where the real group grows, right?
Yeah, correct. I mean, we do have people that are in our lawsuit, firefighters, paramedics, that are vaccinated. And one of the stipulations in the vaccine mandate the city put out as well is that you have to continue to get vaccinated through every booster that comes down the pipe with that. So, you know, whether they went out and they got it on their own and then they decided, hey, I don't want to keep getting these boosters. You know, science is coming out that proving there's issues with this, and I'm not okay with that. And I'm not okay with, you know, this bureaucracy telling me that I have to do that as well.
Well, they might be saying, look, if it's ongoing, I already took the vaccine, I made my choice, right? But if there's ongoing vaccine after vaccine after vaccine, it's kind of like the flu shot. Hey, if they miss the boat when it comes to what needs to be in the vaccines, or if there's some kind of a problem with the latest batch and or seasonal gear up or whatever you want to call it, they might choose to change their mind too, and they always want to reserve that right, right?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the beauty of this country, you know, that we do have. These rights were given to us by God, and they're enshrined in the documents between, you know, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. And especially, as weird as it sounds, in the state of California, we have the strongest constitution out of all 50 states. It affords us, in Article 1, Section 1 of the Constitution, right to privacy and right to body autonomy. And that came out of, you know, 1973 when Roe versus Wade.
Yeah, we're the body, my body, my choice people now, huh?
Exactly right. And so, you know, when I stand and I say that and that I feel that I have the right, just like a woman does to her, you know, body autonomy, then I've been villainized, you know, and made to be that I'm crazy. No, I'm not.
Well, and really what matters here is this. If they can force the jab on all of us and they can violate your right to conscience, if you will, and your body. If they cross that Rubicon, John, what can they not cross? What can they not do?
Well, and that's a huge issue when you think about it. I mean, if we're sovereign individuals, right? And
yes, sir.
If I don't have body autonomy, if I don't have the ability to control what I put into my body, what I say I can and can't do, I have nothing. That means the state or the government or whoever owns me. And so they're gonna take that and they're gonna run with it, and we're not gonna stand for that whatsoever.
Body's one thing and it's important, and I'm not dismissing that, but right of conscience is another too. In many of these cases, a lot of people are saying, hey, you know what, there are aborted fetal or aborted tissue, fetal tissue, in some of these vaccines, or at least to engineer them. And it's a debate because they're so vague of how detailed it really gets. But a lot of people just on moral grounds are saying, you know what? I'm not even against vaccines, but I'm not going to do the, you know, aborted fetal tissue stuff. I won't do that. That's a moral conscience argument, right?
Absolutely. I mean, there's moral issues all around this whole thing. I mean, you can just look at the recent thing that Project Veritas did and undercover with that, and Pfizer and those guys
and
are coming out.
And they nailed it, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. You know, they're admitting that they've been hiding that there's aborted fetal tissue in there. I mean, what are we putting into our bodies? You know, you're supposed to be given that information as to what is inside of this thing, especially since it's still under the EUA, you know.
And
it's
to not
informed
let us
consent.
To not let us know what's inside it, and to have a emergency authorization, those things together with this force. I mean, you're talking about Nuremberg trial stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it seems pretty nefarious to me. And you know, when you look at what happened in World War II with the Nazis and how they exterminated so many Jews, you know, in 1964, I believe it was the Nuremberg trials, and out of that came the Nuremberg Code. That said that any type of experimental drug, you had to have informed consent. You cannot push this on people without giving them the ability to opt out. And now you're mandating something that's under experimental use. This is absolutely against the law.
Is this at the heart of some of your lawsuits?
The attorneys are addressing that at this point. You know, we've initially started out on constitutional issues, and we're working with them at this point right now.
Interesting. I'll tell you what, this is a very critical issue. I think it's there's very few hills that are singular in nature that I believe people should die on the hill for. However, this is one of them. Because, like I said, I believe this is a Rubicon. Once you cross this, John, I don't know where we go.
Well, and you can look at, I mean, there's so many different issues with this. You know, they're mandating this. The good question is, why isn't it legislated? It's not being legislated because it's unconstitutional. It's why the federal government didn't. They mandated this as well, or they said they were
mandating. And it's not legislated because the broad body that it takes to legislate it won't go. They won't get the numbers.
No, they won't.
Either.
Not whatsoever.
Because a lot of people are going to say, you know what? I believe vaccines are good. I like the vaccines, but I cannot in good faith mandate them, especially when they're in experimental status.
Yeah, absolutely. And so here you have these illegal mandates that are being pushed down, and that's just a way to step around the legislature. And so if we bend a knee to this and we don't continue to push on with this, they're just going to continue legislating because they know that no one will stand up to them. And people, a lot of people don't understand the difference between a law and a mandate. And so, you know, again, like I've said before, anything that's repugnant to the Constitution is illegal. And this mandate is clearly unconstitutionally illegal.
Well, and Joe Biden knows it's so illegal that he hasn't even literally created authorizing code. In other words, it's not in any regulations. So the 24-plus governors that want to sue over this don't really have anything to sue at this point either, right?
Yeah, there's nothing out there. You can't find that mandate anywhere on whitehouse.gov's website.
So it's a mandate by press release?
That's what it seems like at this point.
Wow, I think we should be arresting criminals. That's my humble two cents. John, so what's your speech going to be about?
I'm going to kind of give people an idea, you know, that they're not on an island, that there is hope, you know, and that us as American citizens need to stand up and start pushing back. You know, I mean, I'm just a guy, period. I'm no different than anyone else here. I'm a public servant, and when this all started, all I heard was fear everywhere, how afraid everyone was and how lost they were and how they felt like they were on an island. And so to me, to be able to stand up here and give people hope and let them understand that, you know, we're stronger in numbers, and that's the only way we're going to be able to take back this country is to be able to stand together and move forward.
You know, I know this is a weird comparison, but I'm going to bring it up anyway since you mentioned God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Peter and the boys were fishermen, and they got called to the Lord's service, and they were of a different fishing variety, if you will. You guys are firefighters, and now you're fighting a different fire, my friend. It's a little bit comparable.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Somebody asked me the other night on a news outlet, you know, are you willing to stand and lose your job for this? And I said, absolutely I am. This is way bigger than my career. You know, I've been with the fire department for 21 years. I've been in public service for 32. And if Yeah, this is so much bigger. This is about the freedom in our country and the loss of our liberties that we've had over the past 20 months. And it goes on even longer than that, but the 20 months, it's just been accelerated. And they said, well, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to move to another state that's more conservative? Are you going to do, you know, what are you going to do? And my response to them was, look, I'm a firefighter. I have a wide breadth of skills. When I show up on scene, I don't have the ability to call another 911 and ask what needs to be done. So, you know, I can step outside of this box and I can do whatever I want. I'm 53 years old. Do I want to start over? Absolutely not. But am I willing to? Yes, because that's how important this issue is.
Do you have a wife and family?
At this time, I do have two daughters, yes.
All right. I'm only asking about family. What do they say? How are they taking this?
It's pretty mind-boggling. You know,
I don't mean to pry, but I do mean to kind of, you know, it affects other people, right?
Yeah, I mean, it does. I mean, we just had the city council basically state that over the past 20 months, you know, it's all right, you guys can go to work. There's no shot. There's no nothing. Go and protect people and take them to the hospital with COVID and do your job. And then in the past 30 days, they basically said that we're villains because we're not getting this shot and we're unsafe. And to wrap your head around that, you know, and realize that you're going to be terminated, the ripple effect in that is so drastic because you're not just affecting me, but you're affecting all of these families.
Yeah, you know? Your daughters, whoever, right?
Yeah, anybody. I mean, whether you've got parents and that you're taking care of or
sure.
Whatever. I mean, it's huge.
And that's why I asked the question, because it doesn't just, it's not just a John decision. Oh, you might have to make it. I get it. But it's going to affect so much and so many downstream that it's just mind boggling. All right. I got another irony I want to pass by you. Then I'll let you fly. I know you're busy and I appreciate your time. So here's the irony. You spend your life putting out fires, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now you're running around starting fires. Brush fires of freedom, sir.
I would almost call it like maybe an arsonist for freedom.
I love it. John Knox, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be speaking tomorrow, that Saturday, at WeCanAct.net. Get ready for that. It'll be a barn burner. I don't dare say that to a firefighter, do I? Anyway, it'll be an incredible speech, ladies and gentlemen, coming up. John Knox, he's one of the founders, so he certainly put his money where his mouth is, right? He's one of the founders of Fighters for FirefightersForFreedom.org. That's FirefightersForFreedom.org. And your slogan, restoring freedom through choice. And that really says it all, huh, John?
Yeah, I think so. I just hope everybody in America starts to wake up. You know, I've seen a huge change. I mean, it's crazy to think we started this 6 weeks ago, and what we've accomplished in that short amount of time is amazing. And the people I've spoken to and traveled around and seeing what's going on is just... It's a breath of fresh air, and I just praise everyone for standing up and doing the right thing.
Well, you tell the nigh on to 1,000 firefighters standing with you that God bless them for us, will you?
I will. Thank
you
very much.
All right. Thank you, John. Liberty Roundtable Live.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Well, my mom smokes and my dad smokes, and I saw them smoking, so I tried it. They're telling me not to smoke, but they smoke themselves.
When it comes to smoking, are you sending mixed signals?
But when you teach someone a certain way to do things and you go back on that certain way, it sends mixed signals to the person that they're trying to teach. The parents need to be the example.
Smoking. If you think you're old enough to start, you're smart enough to stop. A public service message from this station and the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. We got to hurry. We've got so many incredible interviews. Now we got Mike Brown. He's the VP of Sales and Marketing, Raindrop Technologies. Go ahead, Cam. Gentlemen, we continue live from the WeCanAct.net conference. It is amazing. Speaker after speaker after speaker with hard-hitting educational news. The networks refuse to use content. I'll tell you what. John Knox with us now, ladies and gentlemen. Restoring freedom through choice. FirefightersForFreedom.org, the website. John, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir. We are getting this Mike Brown interview ready. We'll do that real quick. Mike Brown is VP of Sales and Marketing. Raindrop Technologies, Inc. is the company. Fund freedom, they say, and invest
all right,
in Raindrop
we're be live
Technology.
In 3, 2, 1.
Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. The parade of vendors continues, ladies and gentlemen. You probably got 75 vendors in this hall right now. Everybody's gearing up. We are at the WeCanAct.net conference, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't have your tickets, get them now and head over. WeCanAct.net. Put in the keyword Liberty and get $50 off every ticket. And if you can't make it, though, there are streaming options available. Check it out at WeCanAct.net. Our guest now, Mike Brown. He's Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Rain.Text.
Raindrop.
Raindrop Text is what it's called, ladies and gentlemen. And it's Raindrop Texting. And you know what? It's all the rage. A lot of people used to have email lists everywhere. And email lists are out. Texting is in. Marketing studies show that and a whole lot more. So we're going to learn more about this technology, how it relates to you, and hopefully your business. Mike, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Sam. Appreciate it.
So how'd you get involved in Raindrop?
Yeah, I helped found the company 5 years ago. And the reason being, there wasn't a text message marketing company that was helping conservatives. Most texting companies lean left.
Yes,
and,
they do.
And they've utilized texting very effectively. You know, Obama famously raised millions of dollars via text for a George Clooney fundraiser. And nobody was doing that on the right. And so me and a couple of others helped found the company. And our focus is, you know, we do texting for conservatives by conservatives.
All
so we,
right.
We want to give them
for
a voice.
Conservatives by conservatives, ladies and gentlemen. They also have an interesting headline I want to talk about that'll be interesting in a second here. Start funding or investing and funding in Raindrop. You can make a difference by doing that as well. But tell me how it works then. If I'm the average Joe, I might be on the receiving end of many of these texts. But if I own a business, if I want to promote something relating to Liberty, and I want to create a text list, that's where it starts, right?
Yep, exactly. And really the whole point of texting is that everybody reads them. They have a 98% read rate. And the average text is read within 3 minutes, you know, versus email, which is 3 days and, you know, 20%. So it's a quicker way to communicate. So it's great for action items, you know, for
yeah,
an organization.
3 days and 20%, but going south, sad to say.
Yes, yes.
For email,
so,
right?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just another tool in your marketing, you know, toolbox to use. But it's ideal for, you know, grassroots organizations that need to raise money. We do text fundraising. If you want to gain feedback, we do text polling, but then also just getting out messages quickly, action items, calls to action, you know, changes in schedules. You know, for example, today, the We Can Act Liberty Conference, they're using our service to send out, you know, notices to changes to the schedule and also to promote the vendors. So it's a great way to communicate quickly. So we set that up for grassroots organizations, small or large.
All right. So if I'm a tiny organization, how does it work for me? Do I have an online platform that I post my text to that they can send out? Do I have to download an app or either or both? How does it work?
Yeah. So we create, it's just an online account, online dashboard. So you log into your Raindrop account and it's just web-based. You can do it from your smartphone. And from there, you can create the text, you can create polls, and you can blast them out from your phone. So it's just a web-based you know, login, web-based dashboard that's customized to your organization.
Yeah, the point is it's a hosted SaaS portal.
What's that?
It's a hosted SaaS portal.
Yes.
So it's software as a service. I don't have to download anything or install anything or anything like that, but it's a portal by which, hey, my all my action can happen.
Yep, exactly.
How expensive is it and how is it priced? A lot of times these things get pretty expensive, right?
It can be, but we've made it, you know, reasonable for any size organization, and we did it that way. So just a local, you know, school group can use it or a large organization. So we have month-to-month plans, you know, anywhere from $50 to $100 a month, and then you pay per text anywhere from 1 to 5 cents per text. So all of our information is on our website. If you want to also just text the word Raindrop to 53445, you can see how it works, and then there'll be a link to more information.
All right. Now, you've got a lot of interesting clients, too, that are using your service that I think a lot of our listeners will recognize.
Yeah, definitely. We help Tony Perkins with Family Research Council.
And by the way, Tony Perkins does a radio program that we air on our nationally syndicated radio network as well. It's called Washington Watch.
Yes, yes, and he uses it primarily for polling. He takes polls for his listeners, so it works out great for him. Another talker that we have is David Harris Jr.
Uh-huh.
He has a large platform. He uses us, but also Turning Point USA and Students for Life. During the pro-life, March for Life a couple years ago, they sent out, hundreds of thousands of texts just informing people on the activities of the day.
What if they put pressure on you to start deplatforming people?
What's that?
What if they try to pressure you to deplatform people?
What kind of pressure do we face?
Yeah, do they try to get you to deplatform people?
No. In fact, Family Research Council, they were using another texting company that kicked them off.
Yes.
And so we picked them up. So that's really a big focus these days, is that we will keep you in communication with your audience if you're deplatformed. So texting's a great way to stay in touch. You have a direct connection. You have the phone number of your supporters. And that's a big reason why David Harris Jr. is utilizing us after the deplatforming started.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Yeah.
And I know Family Research Council and others literally have their credit card banking stuff challenged as well.
Yeah, definitely. It's happening all over. So that's a big focus of ours, is to help those who are otherwise, shunned and deplatformed. We want to be your voice, and it's a way to bypass that censorship to all communicate right directly with supporters.
Now, you guys have a booth here. What are you showing at the booth to the average Joe?
Yeah, to the average Joe, just you can come by and get some Hershey's Kisses. They're the closest thing that are, shaped to a raindrop. But just come and get more information about us. We also are doing a drawing, too, for several giveaways, so if people are here,
put my name in that, dude. I want to win a giveaway.
Yeah, no doubt. So, and the way we're doing that is if you text RAIN to 53445. That's specific for the giveaways. RAIN to 53445.
All right. And there's also a way to invest with you guys, right?
Yes, definitely. We are, still a growing company, and we're actually doing, a crowdfunding campaign through if you text the word invest to 53445 or on our website, there'll be a link to that. It's through True Crowd, their crowdfunding program. So anybody can help invest in our company, for as little as $100 to help us grow together.
And that's going to be vital, ladies and gentlemen. Donald Trump starting up his own platform, too. We just need Donald Trump to partner and use your tech service.
Yeah, definitely. I'd love to have him.
Now, how did you guys build the platform then? Is it robust enough, or are they going to take the whole thing down?
It's definitely robust enough. I mean, we're growing with the times, and as we grow, we're not hosted on Amazon, so we don't have to worry about that. So with that deplatforming that happened. So
That's no. Good, because that's critical, right?
Oh, it is. It is. Unfortunately, these days, you got to think about that. So, no, we are, we're certified by DigiCert. One of our founders worked for them. So anyway, we're very secure.
What else should the average American know?
Well, about us, know that texting's here to stay. Everybody reads their texts. Any organization, I don't care how big you are, how small you are, you can use texting. We have a great group here in Utah called Utah Parents United. They utilize us.
I'm familiar with them.
With all the attacks on, parents by the school boards, they're using us to get messages out to every school district. They have a keyword for every district, so parents in every district can get pertinent messages quickly. And so I don't care how big your group is, you can use texting, and it's just a simple, effective way to get your message literally in the hands of your supporters.
What do you think about the...
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Incredible stuff. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live. I am Sam Bushman, live from the WeekendAct.net conference. Incredible interviews, incredible speakers, incredible vendors. It's just a pleasure to be here. Quick pause. Hour one in the can, hour two coming up. You are listening to the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word, ladies and gentlemen. Tell the tale of freedom, will you please? We declare this nation shall save the Republic of the United States of America.